this is part B of the spiritual things we need to do to survive God's judgments that are coming. Well, you see, there's a lot more to what's in the Bible than what we have ever figured. So let's come back here to Matthew, the 10th chapter. And let's see what it's going to be like. Here's what we need to do. Now, I realize this is talking basically to those who are going out on an evangelistic campaign, but there are lessons for us to learn here. Because we all need to survive the best that we can, but we all need to realize surviving physically is not the goal. Surviving spiritually is the goal. So let's read it here. Matthew 10 and verse 21. Because this is going to happen. And for the sake of survival by some, they're going to do this, but they won't survive very long. Verse 21. Then brother shall deliver up brother to death, the father of the child, and children shall rise up against their parents and have them put to death. Now that happened during the lifetime of the apostles. It's happened down through history. It's going to happen at the end time in a big way. Now verse 22, you might as well buck up. Because if you look for people to like you in trying and difficult times, it may not happen the way that you think. You shall be hated by all for my name's sake. And in particular, the end time, when they have this one world religion, those who are true Christians are going to be hated. And especially if you don't take the mark of the beast, and that's coming. That is coming. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. So this is what we need to realize we need to be doing, see. Don't get faint-hearted if times get tough. And don't give up just because things don't work out the way that you may expect. Simply because God may have another way. I've learned that way through my life. Nothing has worked out the way that I may have thought of it. But I look back and see how God has worked it out, and that's the way that God has wanted it to work out. So we need to keep that in mind. And when they persecute you in this city, escape into another. For truly I say to you, in no way shall you have completed witnessing to the cities of Israel until the Son of Man has come. So that shows the children of Israel are going to be known who they are and where they are in the days of the coming of Jesus Christ, correct? Yes. Now here's another great principle, because we'll talk a little later about those who exalt themselves and those who humble themselves and so forth. A disciple is not above his teacher, and a servant, nor a servant above his Lord. But here's what God wants done. It is sufficient for the disciple that he become as the teacher. And the great teacher is Christ, and he is raising us all to his level. And this is the whole goal of any teacher or preacher. To teach, to raise the people of God with their spiritual knowledge and strength and character and grace, relationship with God, to come to a very high level of closeness to God. And that can only be done if the elder, minister, teacher is himself doing that. It can't be that ministers, as they have been in the past, they're the big mucky mucks, and, you know, some of the big Protestant mucky mucks won't speak for any less than $10,000. Per session. Well, you think about how Christ looks at that. Now, also notice this. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call those of his household? So people are going to accuse us of a lot of things. Therefore, do not fear them, because there is nothing covered that shall not be uncovered. So the key thing that we're going to focus in on here is do not be afraid. Though fearful things are going to happen, do not be afraid. Do not worry about what some of the politicians and religions are doing, because God is going to take care of it. And nothing hidden that shall be not known. Now, for some of those of you who have had experiences coming out of corrupt churches, is that not true? Did that not happen? Did not all the secret sins from the top to the bottom be exposed? Yes, indeed. So you know that that is true, that will happen again. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who killed the body, but do not have power to destroy the life. Now, that's the way it should read, because soul is not immortal. Ezekiel 18, the soul that sins, it shall die. And this Greek word, tsuche, is translated life more often than it is soul. Rather, fear him who has the power to destroy both life and body in Gehenna. We need to love God and fear him. And fearing him then means to trust in him, to look to him, to believe him. All of those things are all in the word fear. Then he goes on to comfort us. Are not two sparrows sold for a coin, and yet not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father taking account of it? So God knows you. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not be afraid. Are you not better than sparrows? Yes. Now remember this. Now then, whoever shall confess me before men, that one will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, that one will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So that's the key. So let's remember that. God is for us, not against us. God is going to judge the world, and it's going to be awesome. And there is going to be a separation between the world and his people, just like there was with the children of Israel in Egypt when God brought them out. And then with that separation, there is also going to be a coming martyrdom. And if there's going to be a coming martyrdom, and any of us are destined for that, well, then God will give us strength at that time. We don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to worry about it. For those of us whom God is going to take before that time, he will take us. See, because we have to walk by faith, believe in hope, and live in love, and that's how we're going to get through these times. Now, we'll have some more to talk about here as we go along. The other night, one news commentator made the remark. It was Glenn Beck when he talked to Mike Huckabee. And he says, what's happening in America? He says, it seems like it's all coming apart. And it doesn't seem as if there is any solution. It's just almost unreal the way it's happening. Well, the thing is that they haven't returned to God. Let's come to Hosea 7. Very interesting chapter here. Hosea 7, verse 1. Now, I know it's talking about Ephraim, But let's apply this also to Manasseh in the same way, because they are the children of Joseph. And the same thing is happening here. We're looking at it today, and it seems as though that all the politicians know that there's something really radically wrong with America. And as I've mentioned before, you can't solve spiritual problems with political means. Hosea 7 and verse 1. Now here's God speaking to Israel. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria, for they committed falsehood. And the thief came in, and the troop of robbers spoiled without. That really sounds more like the government, doesn't it? Taking and looting from the people. And they considered not in their hearts that I remembered their wickedness. Now their doings have beset them about. They are before my face, because God has given chance to repent. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies, and their adulteries as an oven overheated by the baker. And it seems as though we are just obsessed with sex. This nation is almost possessed with sex, as I mentioned earlier. Who cease from rising after he has kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. Now that's spiritual fornication. That is also economic fornication. And that is political fornication. And it all comes from the system of this world. Remember what one of the sins of Israel was. God gave them a system of judges, did he not? Yes. And what did they say to God? We want to be like the other nations of the world. Give us a king. And remember what God told Samuel when they said, give us a king. Samuel was upset because he thought that they were rejecting him, and God said, no, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. God went ahead and gave them a king. So we have much the same thing here. We have our leaders are betraying us by a process of deceit by incrementalism. Now, let's come to Revelation 18. Hold your place here in Hosea, because we're going to come back. Revelation 18. Because this is what is coming upon America today. Because if we want to become like the nations of the world, then we have to belong to a world government. And if the treaty, the Law of the Seas treaty, called LOST, I think that's interesting for anachronism, isn't it? Because if that is ratified by the Senate, we have lost our sovereignty. And the way that you take down a nation incrementally is take away its sovereignty bit by bit. So think about the borders. Think about everything that's going on. All this health care that they're promoting now is not to take care of anyone other than the illegal aliens under the guise of helping poor children. It's a lie. And they are very clever at stealthily rephrasing things so it sounds palatable. and very clever at making people feel guilty if you don't go along with them. But God says he sees all the sins. Now let's get a good picture of it here. Revelation 18. Revelation 18 and verse 1. So here's a judgment that is going to come. And after these things, I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. That's the coming one world government. And has become a habitation of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Now you can take that physically, you can take that spiritually, and when you start asking the question, what is happening to the nation and why is there no solution? And why are we pitted in this nation and in the world in such polarizing ways that there's no room for middle ground? It's because our governments are not run by the people who are elected. This tells us about it here. Verse 3. Because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication. All nations. It's a worldwide thing that is coming. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now those are then agreements among nations and powers to set up the world government. And if they sign this law of the seas treaty, the lost treaty, the UN is going to have the ability to collect money separately. Well, they don't call it a tax. It's a fee. But remember, the United States income tax was never to rise above 1%. So once the foot is in the door by stealth, know for sure the thigh and the knee are coming next. Comment was made, remember, Social Security card was not for ID. And yet they can't stop the thievery of it. And you see, all of these things are pointing to a spiritual problem of yielding to the spirit of Satan, the devil, who is the god of this world. Now let's read on. And the merchants of the earth, who are they? Now that's not your mom and pop hardware store. These are your multinational corporations that operate without any government controls. What you're looking at is this. They control the government. That's why people are afraid that this NAFTA highway, it'll come. Give it enough time, it'll come. Now let's continue on. And have become rich through the power of her luxury. Look what happened just this week. Oil went up to what? $89 a barrel. It's going to hit 100 before the end of the year. Right today, gas is up to $3.30. What are we going to do when it hits $5? And then inflation on top of that, you see. And that's all because of the deceit and the riches gotten by deceit and by debt and by allowing different nations to rule over us economically. Now, it came bit by bit by bit, step by step by step, and now we're at the door. There's another thing called the tipping point that I've mentioned. You reach a point to where then the problem tips the balance and it goes into chaos. And they're right now at that in California with all of the emergency wards in California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. They're being flooded with immigrants who go in and they have no money to pay, and all the taxpayers pay for it. They also have insane policies that if a criminal is set for deportation, even though he may have committed murder, even though he may have committed rape, even though he have committed heinous crimes, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, and the country from which they came said, no, we don't want them. You know what the INS has to do? They have to take them and release them into our society. Now, perhaps they ought to give them a parachute and fly over their country and say, good luck, bye-bye. But they won't do that. So it is government, religion, and business. Come over here, chapter 17, you can read the same thing again. This is the religious element of it. The great whore. Great substitute. The angel said, middle of the verse, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, which are nations and languages and tongues and people, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now let's ask a question. Have the governments and the merchants and the religions all conspired, have they conspired to have holidays where they merchandise the people, have religious ceremonies, bring it upon everyone? Not only just in Catholicism, but they have it in Islam, they have it in Buddhism. And just recently, a mayor of one of the cities in the United States, I don't recall right now which one it was, but he decided to get rid of all Christian symbols and have all Buddhist symbols. Isn't that wonderful? Are there people conspiring? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. Now, let's come back here to Hosea, the 7th chapter again. Now, let's tie this in with what is going on today. Now, let's see what it's going to come to. Verse 7. They're all hot as an oven, and it devoured their judges, and their kings are fallen. That means replace decent judges with evil ones. And there is none among them that calls unto me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knows it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him. He doesn't know it. and the pride of Israel testifies to his face. Now they have had opportunities, but notice, they did not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. This is like saying today, let's pull out of Iraq immediately. See, it doesn't matter. We are at the point right now, it doesn't matter what decision is made, it's not going to work out the way that they want or the way that they plan. See, because they didn't return to God. And they haven't repented of all the sins that they have in rejecting God. Now let's continue here. And when they shall go, I will spread a net upon them, and I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven, and I will chastise them as their congregation has heard. So they've got to know, as I covered earlier. That's why God says, you are to warn the wicked. Doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to proclaim yourself Ezekiel on the wall to do that. Because they have transgressed against me, and though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And isn't that what they do from the pulpit every Sunday? Yes, indeed. They have not cried unto me with their hearts when they howled upon their beds. They assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebelled against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bull. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue, and this shall be the derision in the land of Egypt. I'll come back here to chapter 4. Let's see what else happens. Now, sometimes some prophecies have to be given many times over before people really get the point. Do you want to know why nothing's working out? And you look at the election. Who? After hearing Mike Huckabee, maybe he might stem the tide for a little while. But what can the president do once he's elected? To change what needs to be changed. So hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. You all live lies in a fake reality. There's no truth of God. There is no truth or understanding in any of these things. Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, there are many people who maybe will hear some of these things, but they won't believe them. They won't believe the things that are right before their eyes. And why? Well, let me read this quote to you. When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic. That was by Dresden James. Is that not true? Even all the things that people want to return to, they're returning to lies. Let's all come back to church. See you all on Sunday. Wrong day, folks. Oh, let's have a campaign and go out and teach people about the truth about Jesus and Christmas. No, there's no truth. Now, here's what is happening. By swearing and lying and killing, we have a lot of killing. You want to know, as I mentioned earlier, the latest method of killing children in grade school and middle school? Brown heroin from Mexico. One sniff, and they're dead. They reported on the news, Texas, the other day. Others who don't die have great health problems, and one sniff, you're addicted for life. Why? Why does God allow that? How can God be a God of love if He allows that? Well, how can you say you love God when you don't believe Him? How can you say that you want God's help when you kick Him out of the government, when you kick Him out of the schools, when you kick Him out of your homes? How can you ask the question, why would God allow that? Well, here's why. Let's read it. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore, the land mourns. Is it mourning today? Yes. Nearly 500 tornadoes in 2 days, right? Yes. Storms, drought, flood? Yes. And everyone that dwells therein shall languish. So it's going to affect everyone. And it's getting closer and closer and closer, isn't it? With the beast of the field, with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea shall also be taken away. Let no man strive nor reprove another, for your people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall you fall in one day. That's interesting, isn't it? How quickly can this nation go down? Need to think about it. Very quickly. And a prophet also shall fall with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge, and you have it here, as I mentioned earlier. If you have a Bible in your home and you haven't read it, or you believe that most of it is fulfilled, or you believe that Jesus did away with the law, you have God's judgment hand-delivered to you in your home. And if you don't read it, that's not God's fault. Lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. Now, here's the automatic reaction that happens. I also will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Now, for all of those of you who think that God did away with His own law, and remember, as I said earlier, God is lawgiver. So if you say He abolished His law, you are saying that God has abolished Himself. But people don't think of it that way. But notice, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Would you not say that's an accurate description of what's happening to children today? If you have children in public school and you can take them out, homeschool them, I suggest you do. Because increasingly the schools are becoming unfit and dangerous for your children to attend. As they increase, so they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat, not have enough. They shall commit whoredom, shall not increase, because they've left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Has that happened? Yes, this country is obsessed with sex. Verse 12. My people ask counsel at their stocks instead of God, and their staff declares unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms, is that not obsessed with sex? Has caused them to err. They have gone a-whoring from under their God. Now, let me mention a little news report from Norway. Did you hear what they propose in kindergarten? Free school supervised sexual experimentation of any kind with kindergartners. Now, that's going to stir up the wrath of God. Is it that it's going to be like the book 1984 by Orwell? To where schools will have rooms set aside for sex? Where will it go? Where will it end? Well, unless there's a great repentance, it's not going to end. And that's why we, brethren, have to pray and stay strong. And that's why if we become like the world, God is going to judge us even more severely. So we need to understand. The word of God is true. These prophecies will come to pass. We are seeing them take place right before our eyes. Yes, pray for the nation that for as many as will repent will. Yes, pray for all the brethren that they will all yield and turn to God. Yes, pray for all the ministers, wherever they are, that they will take hold of their responsibility before God. Now, how far down the road are these things? We don't know, but they're happening now. So the question is, when is the next tipping point coming? And then the next tipping point after that. What will it be? May God help us, give us strength, and be able to do and accomplish what He wants us to do in the time that we have to do it. Comment was made, when this country goes down, it's going to be a difficult situation. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, let me just add this. Some of these things are imminent. Some of these things are further down the road. But if you read about Jeremiah and his prophetic ministry, he warned for 30 years before it took place. Now, how much of a warning have we had, and how far has it gone? We'll just have to wait and see. So what I'm going to cover next is what we need to do to build the character of God so that we can be spiritually prepared, because that's the answer for us. Lest we get all consumed with all the problems in the world and get taken up with that and not stay close to God. So we'll just have to wait and see. These things tend to come like waves in a storm. So we'll see what we need to do, what Jesus said we need to do to develop the character of God.